Machinery was beginning to come out. Cotton was beginning to grow, tobacco, melons, vegetables of all kinds. A very prosperous agricultural valley. And I heard the Spirit of the Lord speak to my heart. I heard the message of what the Spirit is saying to me today, and I believe He's saying it to all the church. And He's saying that Satan cannot bring God's people down by speaking a curse over them. It's impossible. Romans 8:31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? He can't curse you. He might try to bluff and say He can. It's impossible. God says, they're my people. I've redeemed them. I've blessed them. They're headed for heaven. You can just blow off all you want, but you can't curse them. It won't work. Hallelujah. The devil's smart enough to know that. And he knows there's only one way to gain victory over God's people today is to get them to hurt themselves. Get them to be their own enemies. And all he has to do is work in the area of lust, the area of man's weakness and his old Adamic nature, and just get him abnormally involved with the world. That's what God wants to do. That's the only possible way that the devil can bring any of us down, is to cast a stumbling block before us so that we fall over to ourselves. There's no power big enough. Nobody can pluck us out of God's hand. It's impossible. Now, we're told that Antipas, who possibly was the bishop of Pergamos, was killed for his stand that he took against Satan's seat, against the doctrines that were set forth in that city. And you know the word Antipas means against father, or what we should say is against the God of this world. And the very meaning of his name tells me that he was a pastor that loved God, and regardless of the price, he committed himself to preach holiness. God said he hated the doctrine of Balaam. He hated that other doctrine. And this pastor evidently took such a stand against uncleanness of all kinds, homosexuality, lesbianism, rock music, adultery, fornication, all these ungodly things that ruin people's lives. And he was killed for it. The Bible says in 1 John 2:15-17, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They're your three stumbling blocks. They're not of the Father, but they're of the world, and the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know, some people will just storm out of this place the instant I open my lips and say it's wrong for you to participate in alcoholic beverages of any kind. You're free to go, because I'm going to say it again. You can go out and kill me with your tongue. There's others that are trying to do it, but it won't work. You can't curse somebody who's holy before God. It's impossible. You know, not every man in this last day is going to try to fill a church up with just little stories and tickle people's ears. Lull them to sleep. Compromise. Make them feel comfortable. Praise God, there's men that've got the spirit of Antipas. They hate ungodliness. They hate those things that constitute a stumbling block to God's people. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Shandalabakita bakaya. You know what the Lord spoke to me? That all he required me to do was to live a clean life, let the power of the Holy Spirit convict me of my own life, and to be clean before the Lord, and to continually climb that ladder of holiness, and then be willing to take a stand. God's my witness. The Lord spoke to me. The true man of God has got to, if he's going to be in the place he should be before God, he's got to have the spirit of Antipas. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 3, if you see a stumbling block that's cast before a believer, and you don't tell them and warn them about it, and they go ahead and stumble, then you as a pastor are responsible, God says, on that last day, and their blood will be on your hands. But if you take a stand against ungodly, absurd rock music and all kinds of sexual compromise and indulgences and masturbation and the whole works, and come against that thing, and if they go ahead and stumble, then the blood will be on their own hands. And God said, I commission you. You've got to be strong. They sent your their foreheads against you. I'll make your forehead stronger than their forehead. God had to tell Ezekiel that in his day the people would be rebellious because they didn't want to hear that type of thing. And I know this infuriates people at times, but man, we're talking about eternal things. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, we drove some 80 miles to get from Smyrna to Pergamos. And man, the impact of that experience and the trip home was sobering to my life. And I thank God for the way that his sword went into my heart. That's the first thing that he said to this church. He said, I am he that hath the sharp sword with two edges. And I want to close with one encouraging thing that God spoke to me. It's found in verse 17. It says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And here seemed to be just the encouragement that God always gives us when we're willing to take a stand and let the principle of holiness begin to work in our own life. God says, I'll give you to eat of the hidden manna. I don't know anything that could be more precious than to have the Holy Spirit just to communicate the hidden revelations of God's Word to one's life. What could be more precious than that? Hallelujah. God said he would do that, number one. He said, I'll give you a white stone, and in the stone a new name. I'm not going to spend a lot of time ministering on that, but essentially what the Lord spoke to me is that, you know, when you get married to somebody, man, there's a putting on of a ring. And that's a seal or a visible reminder of a vows taken and of a relationship, an everlasting relationship until death do you part of marriage. And can you imagine the joy for those that haven't played church? Let's face it, the biggest number of people today want to play church, but have really made some commitment to holiness and have been willing to take a stand and to hate what God hates. Amen. The reward that's going to happen when we get before that altar and that eternal marriage is going to take place between Jesus and his bride, and he comes up and as an overcomer, he said, I love you with all my heart. Brother, you took that stand regardless of the price. Let me put this ring, this white stone, on your finger. Amen. Let me put it on your finger. Amen. And let me give you a new name. You know, when two people get married, that bride takes on a new name. The Bible says, to him that overcometh, Revelation 3:12, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. He'll go no more out, but I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God. And Jesus says, if you're an overcomer, I'll write upon you my new name. Amen. He doesn't tell us what it is. That's reserved for that moment when we stand before that marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, that white stone's going to look real good. You'll be thankful that you took a stand against sin down here in this world, and you made a decision to live a holy life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm very excited about that marriage of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just praise Him for a moment. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Rabba shanda rabba kanda rabba kanda rabba kaya. Hallelujah. Shanda rabba kida rabba shanda rabba kanda rabba kata rabba kaya. Hallelujah. Rabba shanda rabba kida rabba kaya. Hallelujah. We're going to close. I'm going to, in just a moment, I'm just going to put that last, one of those last slides on where you can see those two cypress trees with the place where the altar of Zeus was. And you know, any time, I mean, your television set can be an altar of Zeus. If it becomes, controls your life, if it brings all kinds of ungodly lust into your life and inflames them, that's the stumbling block of Balaam. And I think each one of us need to, we've got decisions to make every day. What kind of a life we want to live? And we've got to keep on going in the Lord. And I think you can rest in confidence of this. You don't have to be afraid of the devil. He can stand on any mountain that he wants to stand on, get any kind of a view of your house. He can shout all he wants, but God says you can't curse the righteous. It's impossible. Hallelujah. Can't do it. Glory to God. And we don't have to worry about that. There's only one way he can take me captive, and that's if I pull myself down. And the Bible says in Timothy, he comes to take you captive at your own will, to deceive you. And he has to get us involved with all those Moabites, with their way of life, and have us make affiliations with the world that just simply bring us out of the realm of holiness into a realm of uncleanness. And if you're honest at all tonight, you'll have to admit that's exactly what the devil's trying to do. Man, I was in Israel once with a whole group of Christians. And one guy stood up and he said, I'm a medical doctor. And he said, I don't think you should be drinking a lot of this water over here. We ought to all be drinking wine. And he said, we're going to believe the Bible. Let's believe all of it. Paul said to take a little bit of it for your stomach's sake. And I watched the battle that raged in the minds of pastors and people over the rest of that trip. And God's my witness, there were not more than four or five of us that were left at the end that refused it. I saw pastors with a big bottle of that red junk. And I know one of them that's lost his ministry since. Man, I'm not that kind of pastor. If this makes you uncomfortable, you're just in the wrong place. I mean, I want to encourage you. And I want you to end up with that white stone. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We have the lights out. What I thought we'd do is sing a chorus or two. And I hope this message is an encouragement. At the same time, it should prick our conscience.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look for in His wonderful face and the things of will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. So turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory.
If you ever do any reading regarding the city of Pergamos, just about any encyclopedia or Christian writing of any kind, well, it speaks about it being almost an impregnable, undefeatable fortress and city. And the Bible says, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." And you know, it would just take a couple of illicit involvements of fornication, uncleanness of some kind that seem harmless, that could be a stumbling block, that could, you know, to me, if we let it go, could bring our lives into the same desolation as I saw on the hillsides of the ancient city of Pergamos. And the Bible says, let it open our ears to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. God doesn't speak fear to us, but I believe we've got to receive that two-edged sword. We've got to have it come thrusting in true and hard, or we don't listen. Isn't that true? Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. And I just believe that as God speaks to our hearts, there's certain areas that I think you'd know that they constitute a danger. And they're a stumbling block. They're part of the doctrine of Balaam, Nicolaitanes. And I think we need to do something about it if we really want to please God. God says, repent or I'll come quickly and I'll judge you. That's what he says. And many times people wonder, well, why is this family missing from the church? Or why is that family missing from the church? And sometimes they're ready to just blame a pastor when maybe the people just aren't living right. Maybe they're not clean. Maybe they stumbled over a stumbling block. 23,000 or 24,000 of the children of Israel fell in one day. And the only thing that stopped the plague was a man of God came and thrust a spear through a Moabite woman and said, adultery is from hell. It's wrong. Praise the name of Jesus. I encourage you, as we stand in worship, if God speaks to you, man, don't be rebellious. Don't be hard. Because if you harden your heart and stiffen your neck, it's going to be that much harder for it to yield a little bit later on. Hallelujah. I don't want to go into any kind of oblivion of darkness in any way. I want to draw closer to that light. I want to have a vision of that white stone and that new name. And I want that hidden manna to be revealed to my heart daily from God's Word. That's what I want. Praise the Lord. I know you do too. Let's stand. If God speaks to you and you need to repent, do it. Do it.
Hallelujah.
Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. To reach out and touch Him and say that I love Him. Open my ears, Lord, and help me to to see Jesus.